All right, metalheads and rockers, this is DJ Rem, Quote the Raven. I have the band Brackish Tide on the line. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, man. What's up?
Great.
Sitting here rocking out. Was just waiting to get to talk to you guys. Happy to have you here. So
thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So why don't we start, if you guys could introduce yourselves and your spot in the band, and then if you don't mind introducing the guys that aren't with us tonight.
All right. I'm Double D, bass player.
I'm Murdoch, lead guitarist. Missing is our rhythm guitarist, WW Ears. Singer, the Goat, and our illustrious drummer, Timmy Six.
Awesome. So what are you guys up to these days during COVID and quarantine and everything going on? How are you guys, like, keeping yourselves busy with music?
We're recording our next album. Just released a single back in December and getting ready to get another single out here in about a month or so, hopefully.
Anything else to add there, buddy?
Oh, well, there's plenty. We're busy as shit. We have at least an album's worth of material that we've been sitting on for a while, and we were going to record anyway, and then COVID pretty well pushed a button there, and we're working with a pretty big-time producer down in New Orleans, and he's given us a little few pointers here and there as to what we need to record up here. And, it's been a busy time, actually.
Awesome. So you're able to use the downtime to, keep making music. That's badass.
Yep.
So
it's definitely keeping boredom down.
Right. So how long has this band been together? How long have you guys all been doing this?
We've been together. We're going on 6 years now as a band. Bill and I have been working together a little longer than that, but, as a unit, we're together about 6 years.
All right. And then 6 years ago, when you guys started this thing, what kind of brought you guys together?
Probably, I guess, love of metal.
Yep.
can't go wrong with that, right?
That's it.
Right.
And then, so tell me, where's the name Brackish Tide come from? How did you guys come up with that name for the band?
Well, our singer, we probably had about half a dozen songs written, arranged. I mean, been playing them, you know, ready to go and everything, and still didn't have a name. We looked and looked and tried everything in the world, you know, to try to come up with a name. And our singer came in one day and basically said, let's try this. So we all had our phones out trying to see if it was used anywhere, and there was none to be found anywhere on the internet. So I went and grabbed Facebook right off the bat, and we kind of jumped on it right then. And it's been, and we recorded right on the Pocomoke River, which is a pretty dark, murky river, and Brackish Tide is just a thing around here. So it kind of fit us pretty well.
All right. And where are you guys from again?
We're on the eastern shore of Virginia.
Okay. Cool. I'm in Michigan, by the way. I never did ask that before.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I go, it's like 20 degrees and I got 3 inches of snow on the ground.
Nice.
Yeah, we're about 30 degrees and we got about, I don't know, a quarter inch of snow on the ground.
It's not supposed to be that cold there, is it?
Well, this time of year, it's always, yeah, it gets pretty cold.
All right, okay. I would have thought the ocean kept you a little warmer, but I guess you're probably far enough north.
No, the ocean gets cold too.
Yeah.
It cools off during the winter, and yeah, it kind of sucks for a while. But
okay, cool. So have you guys been? Do you guys all live like close enough where you guys can still get together as a band and practice, or do you have to do everything virtually?
We still get together. We're about an hour apart from each other.
All right.
Yeah, not too far.
You guys have like some designated practice space you guys use?
Yeah, we got a studio set up in New Church, Virginia.
Okay, cool. So So tell me, with the, how's the writing process work for you guys? So you mentioned, you know, you have one new track out, you're getting ready to release another single, but you're working on releasing a whole album. So how does the writing process work for you guys? And, you know, how long does it take from when you start to actually getting that song recorded and released?
Well, a lot of it is we all kind of write music. Sometimes the singer will bring something in and he'll have an idea on the melody and how the lyrics are going to go, and then we'll hash something out. Or maybe it's two of us, you know, the bass player and Dave and I, or, you know, you never know. It's such an amalgamation because we all have kind of the same taste, but kind of different. So it's a mixture of all of it. When it all comes together, it's like, you know, we all add our parts in kind of sort of, no matter who brings it. And and it just becomes a song from there on out. And it kind of always becomes ours. It really does. But most of this stuff is got some age on it. We recorded a single in 2017. And probably that was like a newer song then. We've got songs that just barely missed our first release, The View From Below. And, you know, we've still got stuff to hang around from that. So, yeah, it's a different process every time, really.
Okay, cool. And then do you guys do the mixing yourself? Do you go to the studio for the full recording? What's your process for recording?
Right now, we just really started doing our own recording. The first album, we used a mobile studio, and this album we got our studio set up and doing all the recording, but I'll do a rough mix for the producer, but I let him handle all the mixing and mastering because it's just always better to have that ear that's not attached to the music.
Yeah.
Do the mixing. We're too attached to the songs. We care too much about it.
Right.
We'll never make it sound the way it should.
And you've probably listened to it like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha. What studio do you use for the mixing mastering then?
We're using OCD Studios down in New Orleans. Dwayne Simoneau's the engineer, owner. Phenomenal guy. It does absolutely incredible production work. If you're familiar with Crowbar, anybody out there, he's done the last couple Crowbar albums. In fact, the last one, The Serpent Only Lies, he did that from start to finish. And if you listen to the production of that, it's out of this world as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent. Who did the first album? That album was in 2017?
2015.
Who did that album for you? Same guy?
No, take that one, Murdoch.
That was Drew Mazurek from up around the Baltimore, D.C. area, I think. And, he did a really good job on that. With what we had, we went through a couple things in the recording, and we didn't have our hands. We didn't know really enough of what we wanted at the time. So he definitely put us together a decent product, though, and a great guy on top of it. We just went a different route this time. That's all.
Yeah. No, and I just asked because after you sent me music and I checked out the video for the new track, then I went back and listened to some of the old stuff, and I thought it was really good too. So. I may have been headbanging a little bit to it.
Nice.
That's what we like to hear.
What's up, Timmy?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Timmy Six.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man.
So we did formal introductions earlier, but why don't you introduce yourself real quick just so everybody knows who you are and what spot in the band you have.
Can you see me? I'm in the dark.
Cannot.
I can't see you.
Just has your name.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Where do I start? My name is Timmy Six. I'm a drummer in the band. It's kind of hanging out right now. Actually, I just woke up.
Night.
Hey.
Long day, you know.
No judging here. You're here now, so
that's it.
Better late than never.
And it's perfect timing because the next question I'm going to ask I need as many people as possible, so it's perfect. So I'm always curious when I interview bands, what type of music kind of got them into metal, kind of took them down this path. And part of that question is too, is growing up, did you have anyone in your family that was like musically inclined that kind of helped start it, or was it just something that you just kind of leaned to on your own?
Go ahead, Dave.
All right, well, I'll start this one off, I guess. As far as getting into metal, that was probably Kiss. I started listening to Kiss. I can remember in kindergarten listening to Kiss, so long time ago. My dad was always into listening to music. He didn't perform, but he loved music. He wasn't into metal, but he got me into rock, and from there I found Kiss, and then it was all downhill from there.
Downhill, huh?
Yeah.
View from below, you know, ka-ching. I think I started out probably, I got to say, Kiss. My first Columbia House purchase was 10 Kiss, 8 tracks, and one other one. I don't even remember what it was. But I had an older brother who had reel-to-reels with Joplin, Hendrix, Dylan, 10 years after, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, man, I mean, just, you know, gobs of stuff back there, but Sabbath was the first real metal I think I listened to.
Oh, let's see. Well, since I'm the senior member of the band, wasn't much metal around. You had to listen to what, Tom? I'd say probably the Stones. The Beatles got it going a little bit, you know. But now I was always into the heavier stuff, you know. And coming up, my brothers, they pretty much influenced me to listen to rock. It was a Cream, Vanilla Fudge, all the psychedelic shit, you know.
Yeah, Cream's badass. I love their Disraeli Gears album.
Yep.
And but you know, getting into what got me into the metal stuff was getting sick of the 80s hair stuff, you know what I mean? Started out cool in the beginning, but then it just kind of like took its direction, I don't know. And then thank God Slayer come along, you know. Saxon and those guys, you know, it's like, and then, you know, through, you know, I'd say my biggest influence in the metal scene, what I look at it today, would be Slipknot.
Can't go
wrong with Slipknot.
No. Lamb of God, those guys, you know, it's just like they're my biggest influence. Keeping it just like straightforward and heavy and scream.
Awesome.
Get the blood pumping, that's it.
Yes. Yeah. Lamb of God's one of my favorites. Saw them, I think, it was 2 years ago I saw them with Anthrax. And that was badass.
Oh, I bet.
Anthrax was on a great show.
Oh,
great.
Man. That was the first time I'd ever seen them live. And I wasn't sure what to expect because they'd been around for so long. Holy man.
Oh, yeah.
It was
great performers, you know.
It was so good.
Like, yeah. And that's like, and it's what did he, I think one of the underrated bands for the metal scene would be Hatebreed.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, those guys just, I mean, to watch those and listen to their CDs, you know, was one thing. But when you saw those guys play, they just like, they pulled you up out of your seat, you know, made you want to hit somebody.
Yeah. They played, obviously nothing happened last year, but 2019, they played Michigan Metal Fest.
Right.
Here about, I don't know, a half hour from me. And I was there. I was there for that too.
Oh, you got to see them. They're amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. They were really good. They were good. Definitely. So my first, in case you care, my first metal was Black Sabbath Paranoid on vinyl. That was my first introduction. Right. My mom had that. And I was going through all her records and listening, and I was like, you know, and it was all like old school stuff, you know, like the I don't know, swing and whatever, all that kind of stuff. And I got to this, I'm like, what is this? and like David said, then it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, you got a cool ass mom though.
Yes. Next thing you know, I'm getting yelled at for my dad to turn down Pantera.
Yep. Yeah, but one of my favorite old vinyl albums is Led Zeppelin 2.
Yep.
You know, it's like Living, Loving, Made. You know, it's just like the beginning of that. Just to hear that. Bow, down, 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 you know, that was it for me. I was like, oh man, it's got to get heavier than this.
Okay, shameless plug time. Where can people go to find out more about the band? What website, social networking? Where are you guys at?
We're everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a website. It's basically BracketsToddOfficial.com. We've got, well, most of our music right now you can go to SoundCloud, Spotify, I think all the major streaming platforms were out there. Google Play, of course, and
I think I saw a couple tracks on Bandcamp too, right?
Yeah, we are on Bandcamp now. I had a request about that. We went from Reverb Nation, which we're still there. But I set us up on Bandcamp. I just haven't been able to manipulate it like I like yet. Gotcha. But we are on there, you know. And same thing with SoundCloud. It was setting up the website. I needed something. And I said, well, SoundCloud looked pretty simple. And, you know, we set it up. But everybody's streaming. You know, everybody's streaming. And basically, you can find us anywhere. You know, if you can't find us somewhere, then hit us up on Facebook or I'll make it happen. You know, one way or the other. And YouTube, of course, has been a good one. Our newest single, Shallow Grave, has got several views on there. And
that's where I was watching it.
Yeah, that's very close to where our rehearsal studio is. In fact, it's part of that building.
Oh, okay, cool.
We won't mention what it is, but I think most people around here figured it out.
That's the truth.
Do you guys have any merch or anything like that for sale anywhere?
We do have some. It's through Wes, our PR guy, and I can't remember that address right off the top of my head, but if they come to the website or anywhere, it should be listed in there. You just click on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best place to go is the website, and then you can get to wherever you want to after that.
Right. Okay. Cool. So here's another question for each of you. So I've kind of asked you what your influences were that kind of got you here, but I'm also always curious to know what music are you listening to now? And one caveat to that, you can't tell me your own music because I already know you're listening to that.
Damn it.
So what other bands, you know, like if I looked at your playlist, what kind of music would I find you listening to? And this is for each of you.
If you got on my playlist, man, it goes across all genres. But what I definitely get into the most lately, I already said Crowbar, huge Crowbar fan. I love Southern Metal, Down, Corrosion of Conformity. Some of the newer bands, though, like Ginger. Ginger just blows my mind. Those musicians are out of this world.
Fantastic, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, really, really dig on them. Just all the heavy stuff. I mean, I still, of course, listen to Sabbath and all the great classics too.
I'd say that my newer stuff, Ginger, of course, Gojira, Trivium's really, they're really fucking killer. You know, Lamb of God. Actually, I saw Slayer, Lamb of God, Testament, Anthrax, and one other.
That's a nice show.
And it was Slayer's final tour, so it was like, and I won the damn tickets. I would never win anything. I won the tickets.
Even better.
So it was tight. But yeah, I'm old metal, new metal. I mean, usually I'm rating that newer stuff, though. You know, I try to catch anything I can. I'll get stuck on YouTube, you know, watching well, like Justin Johnson right now. It's not metal by any stretch of the imagination. Samantha Fish, not metal. Just badass blues players, you know. It's good to listen to. You know, I get told all the time that all I listen to is metal, so I have to keep up appearances, you know.
Nothing wrong with having multiple genres of music taste.
Yeah.
Before you go there, Timmy, I just wanted to throw out one more to guys that I've been listening to for a long time, is Seven Dust.
And, oh, yeah.
Their new album is, wow. I'll tell you what, those guys get better with age.
So, all right.
What's on your playlist there, Timmy Six?
Probably pretty much serious metal scene. I mean, it's like I just turn on Sirius on the metal channel and just like groove out to what those guys are doing. You know, kind of go back and forth to the Aussie channel to the metal channel. I go back and forth.
Yeah, the liquid metal? Or the Octane?
Is it not the Octane, the liquid metal?
Yeah.
The Octane is a little like a, what would they call it, an emo type stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like now the heavier stuff I'm more into than then they got this other channel called the Hair Band. I don't even listen to that. Skip that one. My wife is big on that one.
Don't lie. Don't lie, Timmy. You know you're listening to it.
I like that channel once in a while. It's not horrible.
Hey, look. I'll play it in a cover band every once in a while. They invite me out to go play, and I got to play an 80s show. You know what I mean? I don't want to listen to it anymore.
That's awesome.
Hey, you know Bon Jovi? Yeah, I know. Okay, just start playing. I'll follow along.
Puts a mask over his face so nobody can see him. Recognize him.
No, the fan just blows my hair in my face. I'm good. Who's that guy back at Cousin It?
So that's great. So what are you guys, have you guys started thinking about live shows again this year? Have you guys even started contemplating that, or is it just so up in the air it's not even worth getting your hopes up?
Well, we've had a couple of offers. We did an interview a while back, and those guys were like trying to get us to play this festival over in West Virginia, which they think is closer to us. It's not really, but I guess it's closer than they are, because they're in Louisiana. And so we looked into that, and then it was another place that wanted us over in Richmond, which is about 3-4 hours away. And it's like, you know, we're just not even planning on anything right now because, well, hell, everybody's still closed, you know, half closed, and they might be closed by the time we get there. And it's really not worth getting COVID after it all. You know, it's yeah. just it, we're but it, by the same token, we're still concentrating on recording, so we're not really being. We're not sitting still either, so
right.
It's not as upsetting right now. It's just towards summer, it's going to suck, though. It's going to really suck.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, the way that I'm looking at it right now, it's like, you know, it kind of like the venues are up in the air, you know, to even look forward to anything. And,
yeah.
You know, just what's going on, you know. Sure, if somebody called us up and said, okay, here's a contract, this is how much you're guaranteed to pay to travel 500 miles, yeah, that probably opened up a door, you know? But to go there on a whim, you know, and make up, oh, I'm sorry, guys, we didn't make our quota. Matter right. of fact, you can't even get a Happy Meal on the way home. That's not cool, you know?
Right, yeah, that's not going to cut it, no doubt.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have a... Do you guys have an idea when this new album will be done and actually available for people? Do you have like any dates you're hoping to hit?
I think we've given up on trying to hit dates. Every time we do, something comes up and slows us up. But what we decided to do, I think, is we're just going to try to release a single every couple months till we get to the point of having a full album, and then we'll put them all together and
there
someone
will
buy a physical copy. We'll go that route. But with everybody streaming right now, it just seems that, you know, it's almost not even worth doing physical copies hardly, but
yeah,
I still like them. I'm old school. So,
So do I. I love, I'll still buy CDs, even though I very seldom put them in a CD player. Just, I'll show you.
He's going to show us.
here's a stack of CDs I've bought recently. Some of them aren't even open. Some of them not even open yet.
But, here's one I just picked up the other day. Morgan Rose's little EP from Seven Dust.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Grabbed that. So to me, it's just about having something physical in my hand. And if a band has really badass artwork, if you can see this, the artwork on this band.
Nice.
These guys are Lotharo from Canada. Female fronted metal band, amazing, by the way. But if a band has badass artwork, I'll buy it just for that at this point.
Right.
And whether I listen to it in a CD player or not, probably won't. But I just like to have it. And I also love to buy vinyl from bands as well. I just got two last week, War Kings and the new Enslaved album on vinyl.
Nice.
And yeah, our singer Goat, he's got a huge vinyl collection. I mean, just enormous. And he's always getting new vinyl every day. It seems like he's got something new coming in.
Well, again, I just like it for the art. I have to show it. Look at the artwork on this.
Nice.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you fold it open.
Oh, yeah. And it continues. Damn.
There you go.
And I mean, I love the band, but I had to buy it. And then the Enslaved album, it's got a freaking raven on it. And, you know, the name of my show is Quoth the Raven, so I had to buy it.
Yeah.
It was like, I have to do it.
Yep.
So the point is there's still bands. I mean, there's still a lot of people buying that stuff. The other thing too that is big. I know a band, Corners of Sanctuary, that I've interviewed a few times and do some stuff with. They even will put out like a limited 100 on cassette, and every time they do that, they sell every single one of them.
Wow, that's true.
And you know. So I got cassettes sitting over here from bands. I actually have an old Walkman, so I will play them just for the nostalgic feel for a minute, you know? And then I'm like, okay, this just doesn't sound the same. But, you know, again, there's just something about having a physical copy of something in your hand, I think. So.
Yep. Yeah, I think our fans get that too. We did a little informal survey because we had discussed it, and they were like, yeah, definitely do a CD and download and do a CD and download. It was like, okay, we'll get to that. We're just going to do singles for now, and then we'll get to your CD later on. And because we're still sitting on several CDs from the first go around, you know, so.
Do you have those for sale somewhere?
We do have those for sale. If you go to the website, you can, it's a link right there to it through CD Baby, which is, you know, our disc makers did our first CDs for us. And that's part of it. So that's their little store there. But they're on, once again, everywhere. Amazon, probably eBay. Just try to get the ones with the colored covers because the other ones are knockoffs.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's something, though. When somebody's selling knockoffs of your music, that says... I mean, it's not cool that they're ripping you off that way, but it's cool that they like your music that much.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. Because they sold so many. That's what it was.
Yeah, rude.
I mean, you're right about the, you want something tangible in your hands. You want, you know, as you're listening to the music, you want something to look at, read about. I mean, I look at it this way. It's kind of like eating a bowl of cereal. I can't eat a bowl of cereal without having a box in front of me.
Do you still read the back?
Charms and stuff. They got the little games on the back. And I'm playing the games while I'm eating cereal.
Taking us back to childhood now, buddy.
Yeah. Going way back.
To me, it's like when I listen to an album, you know, a CD or something, I got it opened up and I'm reading all the literature inside of it. you know, okay, as I'm listening to the song, you know. Yep. And I mean, Iron Maiden, you know, it's like I thought they had some of the best artwork on their albums when they first started coming out.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I used to go out and buy their album just for their artwork.
So,
you know, and it's, I mean, it's like Iron Maiden, you know, to me, it's like, I mean, they're a great band. I mean, I love them too. And I almost forgot to mention those guys. But I mean, talking about album artwork, I think they're like one of the pioneers, aren't they? As far as the all that, you know, just the, you know, their artwork is so colorful and just like just really cool to look at. There's always something inside the picture you could find that was inside of there. So, oh, I didn't see that before. Mm-hmm. Every time you pick it up, there was something in there that you missed.
Yeah.
You know.
Speaking of artwork. I opened it up so I could look at it while I'm talking to you guys. But the artwork you guys have on Facebook, the Brackish Tide with the big horned whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's badass. Who did that?
That was a friend of mine. His name's Mark Brennan. And what he had done is I was talking to him one day at a club. And he was showing me some of his artwork and actually... he did some artwork for Stone Temple Pilots too while he was out in California. And I says, hey, look, see this goat head here, like the one that's behind Dave. I said, you see this goat head right here? I said, why don't you go ahead and create something and let me see what you come up with? Well, he got a piece of plywood and a spray gun and he started going to town. And that's pretty much his rendition of, I give him one of the CDs. I said, here, listen to this. And just come up with something using that goat head. That's what he come up with.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and, you know, the guy, and he just airbrushed it. It's like one of a kind. It's like, and I still have it here. And it's pretty cool what he did just by sitting down. It only took him like about a day and a half to do it.
Wow. So you guys going to, when you get to the point of releasing this new album, are you going to do something like that for artwork on it? Or have you guys thought about that?
It's up in the air. we've had that. That's actually been around. That's on our shirts and stuff. And when we were playing live in the last year or so, year and a half or so, that's been our artwork. In fact, we just got a pick order in, and that'll be half of us got that on the back of the picks. And
nice.
We've got the one that Dave's got as his backdrop there. And so it could go that way. It could be a combination of that and something else. It's still ways off. Like Dave said, it's probably going to be every month, every 2 or 3 months, we'll drop a single, you know, and probably by the end of the year, we might be getting close, maybe mid 22. I don't know. You know, we may be able to really put out a CD, but yeah, it remains to be seen right now.
Well, we'll be here waiting. So we're not going anywhere.
Nice. We'll let you in the loop whenever we drop a single.
Well, what we should do, if you guys are down, when you get to that point and are ready to release it, or right around the time you release it, hopefully by then you'll be able to do a release show, of course.
Right.
But we should do another interview to help push and promote it, for sure.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. That's
excellent.
Yeah. Awesome.
Great idea.
Let's just plan on it.
All right.
Cool. Bet. All right. So, is there anything else about Brackish Tide that we haven't talked about? Anything that you want to make sure the fans and listeners, either the fans and listeners right now, or like I told you guys at the beginning, this is going to also be put up on my podcast channel. So, just anything that people that are listening or will listen to this should know that we haven't talked about?
I guess I just, you know, we're an all-original band. As far as what our sound is like, I get a lot of people saying we're old school metal. They hear a lot of Metallica. They hear a lot of the influences, Metallica and Slayer, Megadeth, Maiden, you know, all the classics. I like to think we've got a pretty original sound because we kind of take all that and add our personal flair to it. And we're all original. It's all about just writing and, you know, coming up with our own sound as much as we can.
Awesome. Okay, one last final selfless plug for the website. Where do they go?
BrackishTideOfficial.com. or look us up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, of course. You can find our product probably any online streaming service at least. Just look up Shallow Grave. That's our newest single. That's the one that's pretty well popping right now. And then you can go back in our catalog, then see what else you like. Off the first album, The View from Below, that was 2015. And then the Carpe Noctem, that's why I got you. Carpe Noctem is what we released as a single in 2017. That's how I got you messed up there. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Yeah,
go check us out. Go check us out. If you like it, hey, give us a like.
Yeah, and I have your music lined up. Shallow Grave is going to start. We're going to start with that.
Nice.
Give them the new single and then give them a taste of some older stuff. And yeah, so thanks again for taking the time tonight, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's been great. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks for showing up, Timmy. We're glad you made it. you're the guy in the band that has gray hair like me, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I got no picture.
How come you don't have the picture, huh?
Nope. No, we've been blessed tonight.
That's all right.
All right. Well, have a great night, guys. Take care.
Thanks, man. See you.
We'll be in
touch.
I'm
a good looking guy in the band. That's why they don't post me.
Yeah, they're jealous. Got it. All right. Have a good night, guys. Later.
Good night.